This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Then came cyberpunk. Cyberpunk was more than a science fiction writer's fad. Its concerns were down to earth rather than stuck in space, and it coupled high tech with low life.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo, and with me, as always,
it's Ben Vanel here, and there's a little blank space behind my head where a lovely bit of artwork used to sit because Greg Larson, smashing his head on it, finally took down one of our shelves.
5 weeks later.
Yep.
The wall breaker. My name's Adam Knox. I've never broken anything with my head other than a few
That's
hearts.
What I've heard. Oh, yeah. Oh okay. Yeah.
People look at my head and they go, oh, that poor man. My heart is breaking for him.
And that's why you play video games.
Partly, for sure. It contributed.
Hey, speaking of Greg, if you're in the beautiful United Kingdom, London specifically, you should go and see him do his...
The beautiful United Kingdom or... London.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. Got him.
Those big city, bunch of pricks.
Yeah. Not to put off the audience who we're going to ask to go see our friend Greg, but I forgot to mention London smells like piss almost everywhere.
A lot of it does from my limited experience there, but it's also a very cool city in a lot of ways. And Greg's going to be there as a result.
Yes. He's at the Moth, right? The Moth Theatre.
I don't know. Someone else is going to have to see.
October 19, I believe. Do you want to just quickly cross-reference that, Ben? Because you're the only
one
with a phone to hand.
Yeah, you guys have both gone off-grid.
Yeah.
I mean, I essentially have. I still own a phone, but I still have gone off-grid, basically. It's sick. You know what's great? Pure silence.
Yeah.
Oh, feels amazing.
I'll never get to experience that.
Too bad, dude.
Yeah.
It's great. Kill your dog. Don't do that.
No, I mean, I have tinnitus, so I have to kill myself.
Oh, no. I think I'm going to get that at some point. I've worn enough headphones that it's got to be coming for me.
I think I just got like hearing degradation because I was in a band and we went to a rehearsal room and we literally turned everything up to the maximum volume. Yeah.
Damn.
And
why weren't you the best band in the world then?
Was your band called the Tinnitus Havers and were trying to all get it?
Yes, yes.
I've been hearing a lot about tinnitus. There's a hell of a buzz.
Nice.
If you want to see
Penny Youngman, ladies and gentlemen,
if you want to see comedy of that level or greater, go to Moth Club in London on the 19th of October at 8 p.m. and see our buddy Greg Larson, who was on the show, like you say, Tommy, about a month ago. If you liked him on that, he's even better scripted.
Yeah,
believe it or not.
Well, his influence is felt in this episode because of us not having the shelf behind us for recording. Thanks to him bonking it with his head. But yeah, it's a show that he got nominated for Best Show at the Melbourne Comedy Festival a couple of years ago. I saw the show, loved it, thought it was great. So yeah, go check out Greg. But of course, if you're in Melbourne and you're heading to PAX...
I'll just mention as well, I'll put a link in the description for that.
Yeah,
oh, yeah, great.
You have a look at that.
Yeah.
If you're in Melbourne this weekend and you're heading along to PAX, good news, you can come and see us.
Yeah.
Do our live panel at 9 p.m. at the Galah Theatre. We got some special guests.
Saturday.
On Saturday, yeah.
9 p.m. Saturday. And the Galah Theatre is just at PAX. That you'll be able to see. You don't have to go somewhere else for
it's a conference room.
Yeah, exactly. They've very hastily renamed it to theatre. But it is the Galah. Some room is in here. We'll have some folding chairs.
Yeah.
And that'll be fun. Bring some friends.
Yes.
That sort of stuff.
Absolutely.
It'll be great to have some people there. We'll have a couple guests.
Yeah.
We reckon.
And we're going to be wrapping up what we've seen and played.
Yeah.
On the festival floor.
You can come along and tell us what you've seen if we ask you to.
Mm.
Don't just shout it out at the start.
Yeah.
Mario.
Yeah. Don't grab us. in the, you know, in the on the convention floor,
right,
and just yell the name of a game at us.
No,
you have to wait. You have to be invited in.
Yeah,
or vampire style.
You can grab us on the convention floor, not physically, but socially, and say hello.
I'm willing to hear a hello.
Yeah,
but if you say the name of one goddamn game, give a suggestion. Yeah, because we're going to try and see as much as we can.
Yeah,
The queues and stuff. We've skipped the Mario queue because we got to see that last week.
Yes,
and they're not even showing this game.
Yeah,
but we skipped the Wario. Where move it queue as well, because we got to see that too, and now we can talk about it this week.
Yes. Yeah, you can get on our YouTube channel and find heaps of stuff on there, including our Mario Wonder preview from last week. We were able to capture some footage.
Yeah.
And we got to play WarioWare Move It, and you can see a little video of that. You can see me and Ben horsing around like absolute little ninnies.
Yeah. I very, very quickly said, I'm happy to film. Yeah, I was happy to take the camera.
Wow, how good of Adam. That's so kind and helpful of him. And then I looked at the footage of us and went, oh, I see. There was an ulterior motive here. Yeah.
Those lizards that come and sit on the bird's eggs aren't exactly kind. Yeah. They've got a plan.
So if you want to see up Tommy and my skirts, go to youtube.com/filthycasuals. WarioWare Move It.
Yeah, we played a bit of it. We can't talk about everything that we played because of embargo stuff. It's out in about a month, but we can talk about some of the games that we played of it and like a couple of the modes you guys... well, we all did a bunch of the multiplayer aspect of the game together. We played a thing called Galactic Conquest, which is one of the sort of Mario Party-esque multiplayer options.
Yeah, the WarioWare games often have they'll have the single player mode, then they've got you can unlock those games and play them with two people, and then there's sort of a sort of altered version of them for more than two people that turns it into a little board game thing, so you're not just scrolling through the games.
And they may even be like multiplayer or four player specific games. I'm not sure about that.
Yeah, I think sometimes in the past they have been. I think
they
might
did
be
that weird thing because like the original one, they re-released a version of it for the GameCube that was a party version, but it had like the same games, but was in some. I never played that one, but that they've had all the WarioWare games have been quite different from one another often and sort of weird in that way. And this one came across the most like smooth moves from the Wii to me because you're doing the motion controls is the biggest thing. Yep. That's the way you are playing all of these games, is it'll give you a little pose to get into before the thing, same as the Wii game. And then, you know, once you're in sumo where you're holding the controllers against, you're using the Joy-Cons against your lap, for example.
Yes.
And then stomping around to do things. And it's super fun and the controls work well. Like, it's not the bad type of motion controls because you're only doing snippets of different activities for each of them.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be, like, incredibly precise. No. It's like just hold this like a beak of a chicken and then lean forward and peck up a little worm.
Yeah, and you have to, like... get in the pose properly before it'll start. So, like, you have to, like, lock into it and it'll, like, go zip and tick you off.
From those multiplayer ones, for sure. And then, but when you're playing them just as, like, a go-through thing, it'll give you a second to do it. But, like, part of the thing and the fun of it, especially in single-player WarioWare traditionally, is the rapid-fire trying to figure out, seeing every game for the first time and being like, what do you mean, press A? What could that possibly mean? And then you figure it out.
It has a cool little animation. It gives you a little, like, you know, diagram of what you're meant to look like in the pose.
Right.
With a little featureless 3D model of a person that is featureless except for, we all noticed, a very detailed little bottom.
Oh, yeah. Which is a main part you're using for a number of these games.
Yeah.
Yep.
It was a good time. It's very old-fashioned 2000-style WarioWare, which is what a well that I've been surprised they've not gone back to for a long time.
Yeah. It feels like visually and gameplay-wise, it's like, it's a bit of a throwback, but then the presentation is super modern and fun and like... creative and we can't talk about I think the single player.
No.
Although we did play it and it was good.
We promise. We promise we played it.
Overall impressions.
I liked it.
By the way, we got told in our embargo to not talk about a couple of things. And then I've seen other outlets put stuff up where they've talked about it, which either they've just broken or did we get fucked over?
Maybe we got the the
baby's first embargo.
We get the podcast embargo.
Yeah.
If you're a proper news outlet, you can talk about whatever you like. But yeah, I mean, the motion control worked really well. It looks, it's as fun to play as it looked from that reveal trailer. I think we're all a bit, anyone who likes that series was like, oh, cool, they're doing a, you know, they're doing a movement-based one again, and it looks like it's a bit more of the classic style than the last WarioWare that came out 2 years ago or whatever that was. And it's as fun in the execution as it looked like from the trailer.
Because that, like, I liked Get It Together, which was the one where you've got the little characters and you're moving them around with a stick. But but what was missing from that is the surprise of figuring out a new control scheme as you go.
Right.
Which it sort of had because each of the characters controlled differently and then each of the mini games still required you to use your controls in a new way.
Yeah. That's
but this is just a different and I think more immediately fun thing.
This looks like it'll be a real hoot once you got a bunch of people gathered around the old idiot box.
Big hit at the owl convention.
It's
a real hoot.
Fun game. Great to get to go into Nintendo and have a little go of this. And yeah, looking forward, and it looks like there's a ton of micro games in there as well.
Yeah, hundreds.
I would expect it to be roughly around the same mark that they've hit with the others, which tends to be around a couple of centuries.
We saw a big scroll through of like the empty slots where the games would be, and it was a big scroll.
Yeah. I reckon you could scroll for a while.
It gave me Dead Sea feelings, honestly. I will say, great party game. I cannot see myself playing this single player. Because it is so immediate and short, and I think the most fun when we were doing multiplayer, it 100% lends itself to that. On par with like a Mario Kart for like ease of picking up and playing.
Yep.
But it's not, I can't see myself like sitting down and thrashing through it. But that's, I'm just not a fan of these kind of games.
Yeah, I think the thing that I've loved about them is they speed up and it becomes like a bit more of like a time attack, beating your own high score kind of thing. And you get one for the first time, you make a couple of stupid errors, and then the next time you go through, you, even though that surprise is gone, you're a bit, and they do get very, they get very rapid. They get, and each time that minigame comes up again, you're having to do maybe, you know, more things in a shorter space of time.
There are different variants of each of them that end up showing up. This is in the past ones. And then you get like a boss stage at the end and all of that stuff. And I like the ones, again, that have been in the past ones that are about the little story mode cutscenes and shit that you'll get in those.
And the single player is basically making you kind of go through and discover all of the micro games for the first time.
That's what they always do. So I love that stuff, and I've gone in the old ones and like done the, when you go into the museum and you can play through each of the games that you've unlocked by sort of randomly seeing them in the story mode, you can do repeat, it'll get harder and harder and harder challenge thing, and it is actually really fun. And I could imagine that if there are some of them that you do enjoy in that way, that it could be like the fitness boxing type thing where there are some that are good movement things. But there's probably more in there. Like, I'm excited to see the full thing because this is the WarioWare game. Oh, dude.
Fucking
he'd be
hell.
So angry if you were holding that. That's like his enemy.
Yeah.
Awkward.
Although that being said, he doesn't really seem to spend much time around Mario at all these days.
No, you they've kind of gotten over their beef.
They're never really rocking up in the same game. He's just doing his own thing.
After he found Waluigi, he seemed a lot more peaceful.
Yeah.
I think they really balance each other well.
But then even Waluigi's never appearing in the WarioWare games.
Well, he's a bit of a homebody.
Wario just has his own life where he's just hanging out in his little factory making his micro games. Yeah. That seems to occupy a fair amount of his time. He's never going on little adventures anymore to find treasure.
Yeah.
That's something he hasn't done for about, 15 years at this point?
Long time,
at least.
Yeah.
Once he got enough treasure.
Shake Dimension would have been the last one. Yeah.
That's a long time ago.
And he pops into Mario Kart and stuff to beat Mario. Yeah.
He's pretty much just racing, playing tennis, playing baseball.
Golf.
He's retired.
He's active as hell.
Yeah.
You'd think he'd probably be physically, you know.
Well, he rides a
I'd
motorbike
be in good
everywhere.
Shape if I were. Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
He's basically Miyamoto. He's essentially retired, but then he's popping into the video games company that he runs to just be like, why don't you do this?
What if this was Fox McCloud? It'd look cooler than this guy you drew.
Yeah, he's sick. He's just an old retired Italian guy.
Yeah.
It seems fun. Looking forward to playing it.
Yeah.
More so. in my own home.
Mm. Well, I mean, it's lucky that you have employment so that you can afford to buy video games.
Oh, sure. That's a very kicking wild head down segue. You'd be very unlucky to be unemployed, much like a ton of people this week have been. And it's yeah. going to yeah,
keep
happening.
You're lucky we're not laying off 25% of our workforce
oh,
in here.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, which only would be my legs not quite can turn off.
Yeah, shit.
I think some days... between us, 25% of us doesn't show up.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
If we're each at about an 80.
Yeah, yeah, but sometimes we give it 110%.
That's true.
Like last week, which was one of our most insane episodes, where I think we were all on a limited amount of sleep.
Hepped up on goofballs.
Oh, yeah.
I love goofballs. And I don't love... yeah, a bunch of people have been laid off. Team 17, Epic yep. Games, and a bunch of contractors for Naughty Dog were in the rounds this time, and it's been happening all year and will continue to happen more. That's the times we're in economically and with how businesses treat staff too, unfortunately, and that sucks for all of those people, and I you know, hope they land on their feet. But
I was just reading they were contractors and they were all laid off without severance.
This is the Naughty Ooh, Dog people.
This is the Naughty Dog yeah. people, which yeah. they need to get themselves Apple TV Plus.
That'd fill the gap.
Now they got all the time to catch up.
Dude, season two will be out probably next year.
Yeah.
It sucks, and it means as well, or maybe that it's the other way around where the layoffs are a part of this. The reports out of Naughty Dog is that Last of Us multiplayer game that they've been working on for ages, it feels like now.
Yeah.
Right.
Like prior to The Last of Us 2, because the multiplayer yes. for that got spun off into this.
Yeah.
So it's been in the cooker for a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems as though that's not dead, but on ice was the
yeah.
term that was
right.
used. Like,
and at this point, it's sort of like there were all those reports a little while ago that internally they were having, you know, people that had tried it weren't vibing with it.
Right.
It does kind of feel like, you know, we're constantly hearing these reports that they're sort of at work on 3 at the moment. You have right. to think at this point it's been so troubled. It's like, just shuffle people onto that.
Which,
you know?
Like, I, as what I want to play, am in favor of 3 being the priority over this multiplayer thing, personally.
Mm-hmm. So you're happy they all got fired?
That's what I was very carefully not saying. But they're change of it to it seems my guess would be that this interference from Sony and like them getting Bungie in to have a look at it and this prioritizing it as a games as a service thing rather than what it seemed as though the initial scope for the game was, which was more we're making a multiplayer game set in The Last of Us world, but it's a game that is contained within itself and they didn't intend for it to be an ongoing thing,
right,
is the impression that comes out of how it's all been talked about. So that shift, I bet, took the rug out from under it
it
up. Because these were contractors, right? So these were people that were presumably brought in for some extra hands on developing this, right? So this isn't people that are like employed directly by... these aren't Naughty Dog employees. These were extra people that were...
the people who have been laid off were contractors, I think. But also that's part of that thing where now like so much work that used to be you were an employee is now... no, you're a contractor now.
Yeah.
You know, so
you just don't have any guarantee when this project's wrapped, but you're still expected to do the same amount.
And I don't think it's like programmers and stuff. A lot of the time it's the more creative people. It's the artists and stuff like that who are contractors.
I don't know what specific roles the people who were laid off were, but it seems as though they... logically, you would assume that they were a part of making this multiplayer thing.
Yeah, which often, I mean, laid off, I guess, is a different phrasing to their contract
cancelled.
Or like their contract ended, right? Because a lot of the time, you'll have contractors who stop working for you when you finish a game.
Right.
Like, that's very normal.
They were brought
in
to help out on this thing, and this thing isn't happening now.
Yeah.
So it's very different to, like, we had an all-staff meeting and said, hey, half of you are... fired.
Yeah.
Or half of you have completed your work on this project that is going to come out soon.
That's very different to like, I expected my contract to end then, these people have had it ripped up in front of them, I believe, whilst they were maniacally laughing.
Wow.
That's what I'm getting, a report that someone rubbed it in their pants.
Wow.
That's awful.
That sounds like Cuckman, honestly. That does.
I was saying to you guys the other day, there was a... so there's like a... There was something, I think, in LA. They had like a Last of Us like haunted house. They had like
It was Last of Us Day recently, which is like the release of the original game.
Right.
Just say.
And like, then they've made some merch that's like a Pearl Jam t-shirt that's like the Pearl Jam logo, but it's got like a clicker or something on it. And I was saying to you guys, like, it really does feel like they are on the cusp of like marveling themselves with Last of Us. Like, they've got this beloved property that has had this period of being on top of the world with the TV show and everything. And now it just kind of just feels like they're doing all these weird little things to just like kind of dilute it a little bit.
Yeah, rinse
just all these
every
little
last
things that just
drop.
seem a little overkill and a little tacky to me. I don't know.
As much as that Pearl Jam shirt looked like shit, but like, as much as, like, you know, real life wise, this sucks, I could imagine that artistically, this is the right move to just go, well, this isn't working.
Right.
We need to do Last of Us 3 instead. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, totally.
It is not too surprising to hear, I suppose, that was troubled enough that they can't do it.
Right. Yeah, and it's a bit like the second series of the show is going to be delayed for a little bit now because of the writer and actor's strikes, and the third game's probably a fair way off. So you've got this pretty clear space where there's not any of like the tentpole things of Last of Us coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And so in that period, if you're releasing a subpar, cash grabby, flawed multiplayer game, all that's going to do is sort of hurt the brand. So,
well, and more broadly speaking, that's sort of the position Sony seems to be in as a whole with their first party games.
Mm.
It's like there's a big horizon, not the game, I shouldn't have used that word, a big empty plane in front of them.
Breaking
field.
News, Horizon Zero Dawn threequel coming out next year, Adam Knox
Idiot
says.
Misspeaks.
I can't wait for their new game, Big Plane, to come out.
But so I'd like, post after Spider-Man, I'm not sure what is on their roster so much. And like, with the stuff that you've heard on and off for the last year or two of like, Sony's really interested in getting a games as a service thing going on.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Who knows how much.
And keeping Call of Duty.
Right.
Yes.
So, and part of that retooling could be something to do with the fact that Jim Ryan left.
Mm.
He's retired, and someone else who I don't know the name, I'm afraid, has stepped into place already, I think.
Mm.
And so, you know, management change and stuff like that can often obviously lead to a change in direction.
Right.
You're right, though. Like, I hadn't really thought about that. That, yeah, after Spider-Man 2, they've had a big, like, 2 years of sequels to, like, massive properties that they have. Mm. And they don't really have any. Yeah, I wonder if this is a time where they start going, like, we need to start to get, like, the next, you know, the next round of fresh IPs coming out.
Something like that, because those two state of plays that they've had this year have both been quite dry.
Yeah, and VR2 stuff, and not a lot of.
But nothing new? Just the Ghostbusters game, which I think is on the Meta Quest and all that as well. So, I feel bad that I just naturally called it the Meta Quest then as well.
I know.
It's worked.
It's an Oculus.
It'll always be an Oculus.
Yeah.
It's like, you know what is fucking me off at the moment? Anytime you see like an article that's referring to something someone said on Twitter, which is already hack journalism, but just being like on X.com, I'm like, I hate this so much.
Yeah.
But speaking of the Oculus Quest, there was a they had their little conference where they properly went in depth about the Meta Quest 3.
Mm-hmm.
It's on sale quite soon. It's in October, I think.
It was sooner
than I expected. And it's pricier than the two, but it's not quite to the extent of the Pro, but it's doing a bit more. It's got high resolution screens. It's got full color pass through camera.
Mm-hmm.
So it's doing a lot of the AR stuff, which you're starting to see in more of the VR games.
The price didn't really surprise me too much either, just because, like, remember they put the prices of the Quest 2s up earlier this year? Was that last year even?
I think it was last year maybe,
and the fact that it is, you know, a self-contained kind of console, I guess, as well. Like, shit's just expensive now.
It's sort of the,
it was like $850 Australian.
I think so. Which you're right, for something that's got all the hardware in it. The screens sound like they're really good. There's like a Lego AR game coming out on it that looks like it could be cool if it's taking like a full color image of the room that you're in, and you're sort of making these little bricks on the table.
A lot of from the small bits and pieces I saw from the conference thing, it's doing a lot of the same stuff we saw from that Apple one, where it's like you can put this fake picture on the wall, and
right.
your app lives in your corner now, and mm-hmm. all of that stuff.
I mean, again, a weird thing where they're like, here's the headset, and it's a bit slimmer, it's like a bit more ergonomic, all that kind of stuff, and it's more powerful. But for now, there'll be no games on it that are exclusive to the 3. They'll right. all still run on the... It's all just still stuff that will run on the 2, which is a bit like, all right, like it'll look a bit nicer, but I mean, throw like one exclusive in the mix.
Yeah. So show that San Andreas thing that you were doing forever.
Mm.
Did they give any indication that you saw of like roughly what it's at parity with in terms of the power in there? Like, is it a PS5 in your head? I assume not.
I don't think it's quite that. Yeah, I couldn't really get a sense of that. But I do know that the screens are in the headset are apparently like on par with the Pro one.
Cool.
I think.
Right.
Really high resolution screens, which is kind of the main thing, I guess.
Yeah.
For that like suspension of disbelief. Like, you want the image in front of you to be as crisp. Like,
sure.
You can kind of work around processing power, I think, a bit better than you
and
can
storage,
if the screen's just
right.
really blurry.
Yeah, and especially with those ones when you can plug them into a PC if you've got
one.
Yes.
Well.
But it feels like it's moving almost more towards like a smartphone model of like, yeah, there'll be a slightly better one every year. It's not about the software. It's about, do you want to be current with this technology?
Yeah.
And they've got their Pro one as well, obviously, and like they also focus a lot on like meetings can now have you have a meeting with a 3D model of Mark Zuckerberg, and they look better than the weird fucking creeps that we were showing off last time.
Yeah.
In the metaverse.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Now and it I looks think, like you.
Yeah, and I think too, like we're so used to consoles where if you're in the ecosystem of Sony or Nintendo or whatever, it's 5-6 years between brand new consoles and your going to upgrade if you're a fan of those games, whereas things like phones, and it feels like this as well, are treated more like, we're not expecting everyone to come over. This is for the person that hasn't gone in yet. You know, with phones, it's like most people are waiting 3 models before they, like, they're not getting every single new one.
Yes.
So you're catching people that are probably 3 years behind and due for one. You're not like expecting that. You're not wanting every person to migrate over because that's just unrealistic.
Right, and then some people will be the type who are like, well, no, I'll trade in my previous one and I'm happy to spend a few $100.
Yeah.
Imagine being that kind of crazy fool. I'm real worried about it. But like, the fact that they don't have a really, beyond I suppose like the non-game stuff, like that is a new use case, but not having any indication of new games that are this is on the Quest 3. I'm not really
interested. And one of the big things in the conference was Zuckerberg getting up there and being like, hey, here's this new thing, you can have a chat with a AI version of Snoop Dogg.
It's
like, God, you're a fucking loser.
Yeah.
Do you think you're Steve you know what I mean? It's like, this is so lame.
Yeah. Man, you got lucky programming a website to rate the hotness of women in university. You don't know what you're doing.
Just bring that back. If he just went in, just went back into the background and went, hey, I'm going back to my true passion.
Yeah.
I'm relaunching hotornot.com. Just make that your thing.
Show your true colors, man.
Yeah, exactly.
Come on.
Stop pretending.
Yeah.
There are QR codes on body pillows now, and it can make Hatsune Miku appear on the pillow.
Yeah.
Does that happen yet?
That I don't know. But that would appeal to enough people.
Yeah. You were just on Twitter like a month
ago.
Nearly
had him.
Saying you were going to have a cage match with Elon Musk.
Yeah.
I don't want it. I don't want you pitching me the tech.
Yeah.
Piss off.
Yeah.
Don't tell me how to live my life when you cannot live yours, when you have all of the resources to do it. Yeah, bunch of crazy shit happening. I think I would have enjoyed that original version of The Last of Us multiplayer game.
Yeah.
Because the
before they pivoted factions. To Destiny.
Yeah, factions, the multiplayer mode.
It had just been a little DLC thing in the actual base game.
Well, that's what the original was. It was just the multiplayer mode on the PS3 game.
So no stakes to it.
Right.
It was super fun, that original one. It was really good.
It does, it seems like they buckled to what was the trend at the time, and now is probably we're over it, or it's a little bit less... there's less space in the gaming world for one.
It's harder to stick
out,
that's
certainly it.
At least to make money.
Sega killed that Hyenas game, which was completely not on my radar, but was a character-based shooter thing.
Overwatchy, Apex Legends-y.
That sort of thing. Or like, what was that one where the guy had the little tiny head and the massive body? But that one.
The little tiny head.
He had a big mini gun and he had a really small head up the top.
Oh, Team Fortress 2?
No, 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 no. No, one of the also-rans. Anyway, there have been a ton of those ones that
there's
have come out
million,
to be like,
yes.
Hey, we're the new one. And then everyone's like, fuck off, I've got three.
Yeah.
And so Hyenas was seemingly another one of those that got canned.
Yep.
And everyone who'd seen it was just like, this is just the most soulless thing by committee that's ever existed. This did not need to get made.
All of them have seen, like, there's a beta for Foam Stars happening now, I think.
Oh, yes.
So they're still trying, but I agree that that's what's come for it, is that, like, this business that you imagine is there is not actually there. You're looking at the freak occurrences that have jumped on a moment that was 6 years ago.
Yeah, totally.
Plus. I mean, if it goes full circle and then by the time Last of Us 3 comes out, it's just in the, you know, it's just a bonus in that.
I could imagine it trickles
that
in.
Probably is just like what it'll end up being.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
People are, you know, that's going to be one of the biggest launches of the last 10 years by the time that comes out.
Mm-hmm.
People will be so hyped on that it's like, ah, this is what it should have been originally. The pressure's off. There's a little extra multiplayer thing in
little
there.
Little deathmatch mode. Yeah.
It was, yeah, man, that first one was cool.
Yeah.
If you're looking for a multiplayer game, one that you could think of jumping into is War Thunder.
Oh,
because
the
benefit you get if you're an active member of the War Thunder forums
mm-hmm.
is that you get to see...
potentially an active member of the KGB.
You get to see leaked, real military documents posted onto the forums because they're manuals for military aircraft featured in the game
mm-hmm.
that people post to be like, this is cool.
Yeah.
Have a look at this. This will give me some tips on how to play War Thunder.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the real fucking...
It was the Apache Longbow was the one that most recently got fucking leaked.
The fact that, most recently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There have been multiple of these that I've seen happen, but the fact that it keeps happening, I assume from the same person, maybe?
I wonder, because I don't know.
Probably not, though, even. I don't know.
If it's not done maliciously, it's like, oh, yeah, I just Googled it and the CIA had a PDF file I could access.
This is rad to think of, like, because obviously in my zone of interest is, like, the leakers on Twitter that are like, there's a Nintendo Direct next week, and guess what's in it? Mario Odyssey 2. If there's, like, a guy who's like, new plane dropping in a week, and it's got a rocket launcher on it.
Yeah.
They don't say dropping
exactly,
in the plane industry.
Yeah. New nuke dropping. It's fucking great. And it's like, it's a federal crime, you know, it's treason or whatever.
And then they have to take them down from the... like, imagine being a moderator on that forum where most of the time you're like, you can't say that word.
Yeah.
My job's easy.
Oh, no.
I think now that I've seen that, I'm in trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah, fucking hell.
I've got the cushiest job in the world. I get up, I make my pot of joe, and then I just sit there and delete a few N-words, and then, oh, my God, what is this?
You'd know how, like, the way that internet forums are, too. Someone would post the real military documents, and someone in the comments would be like, that's not actually how an Apache longbow works.
Yeah.
That's...
Yeah,
blah, blah, blah. I could... Yeah. Blah. So, pretty cool. Nothing to say about it. It, like, you probably shouldn't... Well, you should free us. Anyway.
Are you trying to give advice for specifically the listener who has access to documents about the Apache longbow and what they should do?
I'm not sure what I'm trying to do.
Yeah.
That's why I ended up going, you know what? I'll self-moderate this
forum. Think if you're in that position, then what we should say to you is to leak the documents, because we've just had a fun time talking about it.
Yeah, but do it on a different forum.
I would say sell them. Sell them to China.
To like, what is that Nintendo leak? A pyro? Just get him to take a little break from Nintendo leaks to talk about this stuff.
But they do it with like, little clue emojis and stuff. So it'd be like plain crossbow.
Yeah. Ah, they're putting Donkey Kong onto a plane. Yes.
He hates them. He's always swiping at them from the top of buildings. They shouldn't do that. Anyway, it's pretty funny.
Yeah, Funky Kong's little shop is in a crashed plane.
If you fly Funky Kong's plane, super easy.
Diddy Kong Racing, planes in there.
Exactly. It's all adding up.
Yeah. We've got a conspiracy here that might also get leaked by someone
pretty,
who's hacking the CIA.
Pretty damn cool shit if you don't mind asking me.
Hey, Adam, would you tell me about some of that cool shit?
Dude. The plane, right? So what happens? The air pressure under the wing,
yes,
is greater than over the wing because of the shape of the wing.
Okay,
end of knowledge.
And the bones of the plane are hollow.
Yeah, exactly.
Unlike other vehicles.
Actually used to be fingers.
Yeah.
These used to be mechs, but they over time just didn't need the fingers anymore. But if you shine the light through from the back above the wing, you can see the shape of the fingers.
I see.
We're talking bats.
I've told you guys this, but my dad has his pilot's license.
Yes.
And being on a flight with him is great. He's never flown commercial. Like, never commercially, like, flown. Like, he's never had it as a job.
Yes.
He does it recreationally. Mm-hmm. But he'll still, when he's on a flight and it's coming into land, he'll give it a little review. He'll be like, yeah, a little clunky there. Could have been executed a bit better.
I would actually like that, because when I'm on a plane that's landing and it seems like they've gone in a bit hard, I'm like, that could have been normal. I don't know.
Yeah.
That could have been what was meant to happen. Maybe the wind pressure affected it.
I would love for every pilot to have to be like Twitch streaming basically to the videos that you're watching so that when you land, you can see their face go like...
Yeah.
I can just see...
Just a co-pilot like, oh dear.
I can see that happening in
chat,
our lifetime.
Chat, did you feel that, chat? Sorry.
I can see that happening in our lifetime. We've got the... You've got the map, obviously. That's been there for a long time.
Yeah.
Some of them, you now get the little camera... That's like under the plane, so you can just get a look at, I don't know, the sky.
Sure.
I could see a brazen airline being like, we're having live feed of the cockpit.
Yeah.
That if none of the movies interest you, you can just watch the guys up the front doing
then
their job.
Some of the pilots get more famous because they're like, you know, more personable.
Yeah. They've all got little cat ears on their headsets and stuff.
Yeah. Sexy pilots only from now on.
Yeah. You can go on to oh, no, it doesn't work. Only Pan America, only... what would be a pun there? You see what I'm trying to do?
Yeah, no, I get it.
You don't want to be on the plane that's flown with only fans?
Yeah, that would be
that
bad.
Well.
Yeah.
Works in Tears of the Kingdom.
That's true. Actually, great.
Not going to work for Qantas, baby.
Yeah,
plane Trion?
No. Yeah, parachute Trion? No.
This episode of Filthy Casuals is brought to you by our great buddies over at Manscaped.
Pure pals over at Manscaped. Mm-hmm. That was just a word that's had a P at the start, but I feel weird saying our pure pals. It seems in some way judgmental.
They're purely our pals.
They're just friends with benefits. Yes. The benefit being you get the great products of Manscaped. They trim. You might have noticed I've hedged my beard a little.
I've noticed you hedging your bets.
I've been using one or two other. Like it is really simple to do. The adjustments work super well.
It's good, right?
It's a high quality.
Yeah.
The beard hedger.
Yeah.
It actually works well.
Yeah. It's.
I'm always afraid to cut my facial hair too, because if you fuck it up, you're going down to the bone.
Yeah.
And
that's
resetting
true.
It.
That's I don't know
true.
The bone.
I've got to cut my whole jaw off. It's Halloween. No one will know.
Yeah. Okay. Thank God you found the product of Manscaped. I don't know what you were using before.
The only thing you want to take 20% off is these products and get free shipping. If I took 20% off of my facial bone structure. I'd have an angry dentist, that's for sure. But you can get 20% off and free shipping if you go to manscaped.com/your relevant country or something like that. Look it up, but
you don't have to put it in the country.
Yeah,
I think it changes depending.
But it's automatic.
You'll figure it out. At the very least. Either way,
Google Manscaped.
Yeah,
click the link that's there that applies to you. Then upon checkout, put in the code FILTHY. Guess what's coming off? 20%. Guess what else is coming off? That darn shipping cost.
Yeah.
Forget about it.
Yeah.
They'll bring it to you.
Yeah.
Like you were an emperor.
Yeah. Mm. And every emperor needs a clean nose and ear. And that's why I use the Weed Whacker 2.0.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. What if the emperor actually had great new clothes?
Yeah.
That's what you'll be like if you do yourself up with Manscaped. Go have a look at what they've got, because they've got some good stuff. Manscaped, 20% off and free shipping with the code FILTHY. You know what else you can use our discount powers for?
What?
Our other friends.
Yeah?
We got a whole different groups. We should see. We'll see if they get along one day.
I reckon they would.
Yeah. Get them to meet each other.
Yeah.
Our other friends are NordVPN.
Yes.
They have the best for my dollar VPN service going around.
Well, speaking
I've been using it for years.
Yeah. Speaking of what country you're putting into the Manscaped website,
oh, exactly.
You could pretend to get on Manscaped Brazil.
See how the other half
a whole
live.
Different country company, I reckon, over
yeah,
there.
Yeah, well, they sell waxing products, exactly. I think. Yeah.
who knows where you could go? The places you'll see using NordVPN.
Slovenia.
Apple TV's just introduced a thing where you can have a VPN app natively on the thing itself, which is a great...
Finally.
I know.
Finally, they're being helpful in there at Apple. Something to make life easier.
Yes. NordVPN have really easy-to-use apps for a bunch of different devices. It's a really simple, stress-free, pain-free way of having a VPN, which is an important internet tool.
Yeah.
If you go to nordvpn.com/filthy, you'll get yourself a special discount over there.
Yeah.
I believe it's 4 free months.
Four free months if you sign up for 2 years, which I recommend doing.
You should have one on the go.
Yeah.
That's what I do. So and you do should as be, I do, yeah, exactly. Not as I say.
And what I say, too.
Yeah.
Just do everything that I command.
Yes.
NordVPN.com/filthy. That's where you'll find it. Anyway, bit of fun we're having. You've been having fun, right, Ben? Speaking of big military machines.
Oh yeah. Fuck. I've been playing Armored Core 6 again.
I want to go back to it too, so let me live through you.
Well, it was the last thing I played before I went on holiday.
Mm-hmm.
And I was loving it. I really was. I think I mentioned when we first reviewed it that it was like up there for game of the year for me, having only played probably the first, you know, 4 or 5 hours maybe.
Mm-hmm. Were you, when you got on the plane to go to London, were you trying to go into the cockpit and be like, I've been flying a few mechs recently. If you need any tips.
Yeah, where are your plasma launchers? Are they on the top or on the arm?
I actually subscribed to you guys on OnlyFans.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm not on that. I'm a pilot.
Yeah.
Can we get this guy off the plane? So I've gone back in and I've probably played now about 15 hours.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm about halfway through the story. And I fucking love this game.
It's a fun ass game.
Like aesthetically, I mentioned that it was giving me sort of Death Stranding vibes with, you know, a lot of the interface stuff and the world building. It's very post-apocalyptic and sci-fi. Also Nier Automata it was giving me, because you're playing like a cybernetically enhanced human, although you never see yourself.
No.
So not at least to where I'm up to.
I like that part of it. Like even the people you're speaking to and whatever, it's all radio.
It's very Metal Gear Solid, you know, sort of stuff. Yeah.
In a lot of games, when finish them,
they love calling you a dog.
You're a hound. You're Walter's hound.
You're his pooch. Yeah.
In a lot of games, when you finish them, you unlock mirror mode. So maybe then you'll get to see yourself.
Well,
what if that's all it was?
Very From style, built around like New Game Pluses and stuff. Mm. Too.
Right. And like the end, so the story is like, you know, it's super gritty sci-fi, not a lot of emotion in it.
Mm.
You know, it's like, well, this is happening and this is the world's got coral on it and people want the coral. But it's just, it's such a fun, Moorish sort of system where you feel, and it's very From in that you'll beat a boss and you're like, fuck, that took me 20 tries. And then everyone you fight after that for a good 6 missions, you're like, I'm so much better
walk
than
the
you.
Walk in the cake.
Yeah.
Walk
there's
in the
like
cake. A walk in the cake.
Yeah, it'd
be hard.
Want to see this
yo-yo trick? Walk in the cake? It just lands on the ground. But yeah, aesthetically, it's great. I love upgrading and customizing the mech. Like there are so many play styles, again, like a Dark Souls, based on weapon type, but also weight and encumbrance and all of that shit and movement. They just absolutely nail it. It's the best mech game I've ever played. It's so like fast, twitch and responsive. And then there's these arena things where it's like, you know, VR mode playing against a previous opponent or an upcoming one, weirdly.
Yeah.
And you're sort of like getting these OST chips to sort of add perks and bonuses to your little guy. It's so well balanced and well paced. And then yeah, it's just like a cool setting. It's not trying to be a grand narrative where you're like, oh, I'm the guy and I'm on my quest.
No, it's like, yeah, you got a mission. Here's your mission.
Got a mission, you little shit, you little piece of shit.
Yeah.
And everyone here is a piece of shit. And yeah, I don't know. I don't know anything about the story. I wonder if, because you never see anyone. It's like, oh, what if everyone's just a robot? Wouldn't that be wouldn't that be interesting?
Oh,
you know, because it's like, oh, you're all here to just, you know, get some fucking shit on this dangerous planet.
Yeah.
That'd be a fun twist. I don't know if that's what happened, but happens. But I just love it. I love the flow of combat. The bosses are really interesting and force you to, like, experiment with your loadout every time.
Yeah. That's the great thing about them, because, like, they're really tough, some of them.
Yeah.
And it's a great way of making you engage with this system that naturally in a lot of games I don't, because you don't need to often. Like, the assault rifle is usually good enough to get the job done, and so you'll just have the least resistance. But, like, all of the customization stuff, like you say, is so well done and actually impactful that it ends up being super fun and easy to fuck around with.
Totally, totally. And it's all paced out so that you're getting access to bigger and more interesting weapons as you progress, as they might become useful. I don't think there's like a, you know, like in Elden Ring, there was like a bleed build where it's like, oh, it's pretty easy way to get through combat if you just build this stuff up. And I don't think there's like an easy mode.
I think situationally there can be. There is a really effective one against X or Y opponent.
Yes.
But overall, I don't get the impression that there is either.
Yeah, you can't just,
you can't just blitz through with the one.
What was that?
The whole game.
Azure Comet, was it?
Yes.
In Elden Ring, that was like the broken one, at least early. I don't know if...
Right. Yeah. No, I think that still probably is the case. Yeah. But yeah, I fucking love it. I'm going to finish it.
I really want to go back to it as well and, like, not let it get lost in the hubbub that we're in now.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
A ton of fucking stuff coming out now and over the next few weeks.
I know. Mm. It's hectic. Can I just do a very quick segment of What's Bugging Ben?
Yes.
Tommy Dasilo presents What's Bugging Ben.
Yeah.
Can I license it off you for one moment?
What's ticking off Tommy?
What's ticking off Tommy?
No, it's still called Tommy. It's called Tommy Dasilo presents What's Bugging Ben.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I can tell you what's fucking annoying Adam then.
Of course, listeners to the first two episodes of our
show. Yeah. Our long-running segment.
Yeah.
It's
technically long-running.
Yeah. Just had a big rest in the middle. On the Steam Deck,
yes.
I decided that I would just purchase Forza Horizon 5.
Mm-hmm.
On there, I've played it a bunch, but played
you
it
can
on.
Put Game Pass on the Steam Deck as well.
You have to do so much fucking around to do that, and I went, you know what? I'll just, like, I only ever had it. I was only ever playing it on Game Pass anyway. I'll just pay the, you know, it's on sale. I'll just pay to have it natively on the deck.
Mm-hmm.
Just seems a bit easier. And I, even though
I just buy new socks every day, I know you can wash them, but I just fucking, you know, they come pre-washed.
I mean, I've done that when I've travelled.
Oh, like, dude, all it's this the best going feeling in the bin. World.
I'm going to Uniqlo. Fuck this.
These shoes are getting to the point where I'm going to throw them away after visiting the shoe store.
Oh yes,
like nice. Just an immediate transfer. I'm fucking excited.
I went into this not expecting anything. Happy to start from the start.
Yes.
However, this is very annoying. In order to open up the game, in order to play the game at all, you do need to have and log into an Xbox account. But then it's not transferring any save stuff. So it knows who I am.
Oh.
It's tethered to my account, but it's just not bringing anything over.
Yeah, it's
Isn't
dumb.
That weird? Like, don't force me to sign in
annoying.
You're not going to give me, like, any benefit to that. I thought that was kind of weird.
Saves and stuff can be stored, I suppose, is different between Steam and like, the Xbox app or whatever. But you would think for the same game that the work could be done.
Yeah.
And also, I'm not playing it on the fucking Xbox app, so why am I having to sign in to my
odd.
Xbox account if for a game that I've downloaded off Steam?
Signing into anything. Yeah. I remember still buying, like, the Switch version of Doom.
Yeah.
The, like, original old Doom and having to sign into a Bethesda account.
Oh.
And being livid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I signed into my letter writing set.
Oh, yeah.
And wrote them a strongly worded letter that
I
in a drawer for a day to make sure that I still meant it.
Yeah.
And I burned it.
I downloaded it thinking, like, I'm happy to start from the start. I really like the game. Not expecting anything of it. And then as soon as I saw that I'd have to sign in, I thought, actually, you know, this would be nice.
Yeah.
So I just got lulled into it for, like, a moment. I was like, well, if I'm signing in, presumably that means all that progress is going to carry over.
Yeah.
Well, that'll be nice.
It can't just be an added layer of annoyingness that doesn't benefit me at all.
Yeah. Oh, it is.
It is.
What is anyone getting out of this?
It benefits you. They get your data.
Yeah.
That's your data.
He's bought a Steam Deck.
They can...
customize ads fucking for anything.
You. Yeah. And I guess they can probably ascertain from that, given that I was playing it on Game Pass and now I've bought it on the Steam Deck.
Right.
They can ascertain from that I could not be fucked setting up Game Pass on the Steam Deck.
Yeah.
They've got you listed under the stooge column in their big Excel spreadsheet.
But maybe they're also like, we have to win him back over to Game Pass. Let's do some kind of anime titty game that we can maybe force
QR codes on body pillows. I reckon that'll work.
I'm listening.
Speaking of Game Pass.
Yeah. I've been playing one of the perfect Game Pass games, 3 hours-ish long, playing in one sitting type of game. I played through Cocoon, which is the...
You come out the other end of Butterfly?
I don't want to give anything away.
Ben's predicting the end of games in this episode. Yeah. Maybe you're all robots. Maybe you're all butterflies.
Yeah.
Might as well predicting it from the word cocoon. Like, does it have something to do with a butterfly? Nostradamus. you're like a little moth guy. More looking than that. It's a puzzle game, like a sort of top-down puzzle game that feels similar to your Inside type of game, even though it's not 2D in the same way.
Yep.
Because it is from the lead gameplay designer, who was it? Is it Playdead?
Yep.
And splintered off to make this new company with him and I think another person.
Oh, the guys who made Somerville?
They're the other ones.
Oh, okay.
This is... So I remember being confused by this too, because some of the top people of Playdead, which does still exist, left... I think more visual or narrative design person did Somerville.
I think you're right.
And this is the gameplay one, which...
Who's left at Playdead then? I think fucking receptionist?
I think there's...
How can you tell they're playing dead?
Oh, no. There's a tragedy out
there. Butterflies at the end.
So I think like the like lead person is still at Playdead.
Okay.
But this was the lead gameplay designer. I forget names, sorry. But them and
Cocoon.
Some other people, I believe, from... They've made this. It feels similar to Inside in that it just controls really nicely.
Yeah.
Very satisfying, responsive, quick puzzle game stuff where you are sort of from a top-down perspective running around this world that turns into these worlds.
Yeah.
Because you're picking up these orbs, carrying them on your back.
These fucking orbs.
These orbs have a sort of power that you can use with the orbs. So the first one, I don't remember what the first one
does. It makes like hidden platforms.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. So yeah, there'll be like a circle around you and that ground will show up if you've got that orb. Or you can put them in these receptacles where a little pool will show up and you can warp into the orb.
Yes.
And go into that world, run around in there and come back up at other points to be back in the above world.
And you find new ones as you go along. So each orb has its own power within the world you're in, and then you can also jump into it so that you're doing a lot of like back and forth. You might get... It's sort of Metroidvania-y a little bit, I guess. You're like, you'll sort of get...
Because you're not really going back on yourself ever, though, either.
No, but like you'll hit like a bit of a dead end in one of the orbs, then you're just using it as its power for a little bit, and then you'll kind of... You'll get a new orb and be able to like go back into that original one and get to a new place in it. You're not so much backtracking, but you are kind of finding new little areas within the within the orbs and having to do these bits where you're sometimes going like 3 or 4 deep and then
or
coming
storing
back out
an orb in another orb for a bit and carrying the bigger orb over.
Yes.
But I will say I really enjoyed it, and I think that it's like very well designed and satisfying. But I didn't find it like... all of the puzzles are quite obvious because you've only got so much equipment with you and there's only so many, like the option is in front, like what you have to do is in front of you because you've only got the tools there that are required to solve this puzzle. So like, I don't think the solution is to just chuck red herrings in. That wouldn't be fun, I don't think.
I was going to say that's kind of what I've been really liking about it, is that it does, I think it does do a good job of, it'll sort of, it'll gate you in an area. So like a lot of times in like a Zelda dungeon or whatever, you can just waste a lot of time thinking like, oh, I guess maybe it's all the way back there. And then, you know, you go all the way back and then you realize like it was kind of, it was right in front of you.
Yeah.
I do really like that in this, it just, it, like you'll go into a bit and then it like a, you know, a platform disappears or a fence comes up and you, you know, there were, there's been like a couple of times where I'm a bit like, oh, what am I looking in the right? And then you remember like, no, no, it is all just right here. Like I kind of do like that as a change of pace. Cause I, cause you're right. The alternative is red herrings or just having it be completely open and like letting you just waste time. And it's like, doesn't then feel satisfying when you then finally do it. You just feel like you've kind of like, the games let you waste time going in the wrong direction a little bit.
Only the top of the top of the top have ever like managed it where it's kind of all of it together.
Yeah.
With like The Witness and shit, where it's like, it's really down to you remembering where stuff is and figuring out, oh shit, if I did this here, that means that other thing. And it's the hardest thing in the world to make.
Yeah.
It seems like there are so few games that do that type of puzzle well. And this does it well. Like it's a really satisfying, nice feeling, and like every new sort of layer of puzzle idea that you're getting is cool. And like when you see them pop up, you're like, oh, that's clever.
Mm. Yeah, because you put something into a receptacle, then a thing appears in front of you and you're in it and you have this moment of like, oh, cool, this is what I'm doing now. Like it's even once you kind of lock into the pattern of it, it still is throwing little things at you that are surprising and interesting and different.
Totally. And it does the thing that I love where every idea it has, it uses once and gets rid of, basically.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't make you do the same thing too many times just to show it off or whatever. Like, once the idea has been wrung dry, then it's gone.
Yeah.
Which is cool. And it means that it's quite short. I think it was like 3.5 hours or something that I finished it in, but was so like locked into it that I just, it was all one go.
Right.
That's the big bit of DNA that it shares with Limbo and Inside. If you can commit to just doing it in one session, it's all very continuous. There's like obviously loading happening in the background, but there's no like, now we're moving on to this area. It's all like you can play it in all just like one continuous run where
super
you're
satisfying
not hitting the ends
too.
Of any bits or anything. And it, like, I love the setting and the style of it. I think that's the big departure because Inside and Limbo are pretty similar-ish in tone and design and art direction. And this is like a weird sort of science fiction-y, post-apocalyptic-y, but a lot more like bright colors and
weird alien nature-y sort of stuff.
And very old school video game where there's no like title, no story card, you know, no like literally you just open it up
there's
and
no dialogue or
anything. You pop out of a little thing and then the game's just starting. There's no like long cutscene or anything like that.
I think that's probably I respect the game as a puzzle game. You know, I agree with like everything you said about it as a puzzle game. For me, it does not have a real drive to get me through it because it is so, I think, not on rails or anything, but it's like, well, you go here and there's one way to solve this. So as soon as you realize that, you just have to do it. So there's no...
It's a quiz, right? Like it's a series of questions in an order.
There's again, is that same thing with Inside and Limbo. You're just going from left to right. Like you're just...
Right.
And there's puzzles, but you are just... It's kind of about that forward momentum.
But I think having no story and maybe not loving the atmosphere or the aesthetic, it's not giving me... Because like Limbo and Inside especially has real creepy... atmospheric environmental storytelling. You kind of know by the end what's been happening here, why it's been dangerous.
Yeah,
and you're a lost little kid, and it's a bit easier to like kind of latch on there. And creepy stuff's happening around you. Whereas this is like you're like, oh, I'm a little alien.
It's much more like bald-facedly, you are solving puzzles in a video game.
Exactly. It's like, is this bad? What's happening? Am I escaping or what am I doing?
I totally agree that like that narrative drive that was there in Limbo and Inside, not like narrative like, hello, here's the story.
The ultimate narrative.
But once upon a time.
The tone and the implied narrative and all of that, but it's just not in this.
Yeah.
It doesn't have it. And it is like a lot, and not that it's literally not in it, but what's there isn't engaging. Like it's
which I kind of like in its own weird way that it is so sort of blank slate. I mean, I tend to like that sort of stuff in video games anyway, of like silent protagonist and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So I kind of like that it's got this weird sort of atmosphere, and the sound design is really great. Like I like all those elements, and just kind of being able to put my own like, yeah, what is going on here? Like,
right,
why
right.
am I, where am I going, and what am I trying to do? I sort of like that
That's
element
fair.
Of it, but totally like it's it does. If you think about it for too long, it's like, what's my objective? What
because
am I aiming
like
to
like
get?
Feeling wise, it's so similar to Inside, especially for me too, that like it does feel like an element that's just missing
from
this one. But I don't think that what's there is like bad. It's just like, it's like a SNES game or something, honestly, where it's just like, yeah, this is what this is, and there's like some kind of monster things around.
I think like, and I don't know, I guess this is like, again, a smaller team than Playdead, right? Like this is,
I think
you
so.
Have to assume, since it's like a little splinter off cell, maybe like if there was a combat element, because there is like boss fights and things like that, but if it was, if there was like a precision platforming or a combat or a story, it might be the extra thing to really motivate me through it.
It is weird,
I certainly don't mind that there's not the combat. I was surprised to the boss fights pop
up. Yeah, I was about to say, because you're going along for ages just do, and you kind of come across a couple little things and you think, oh, is this a combat bit? And then it's like, no, they're not going to attack me. And you do just that for long enough that you lock in and you go, oh, okay, this is puzzles.
Yeah.
That then by the time you get to a boss, it is a bit disarming. It's like, oh, there is combat in
and
this.
And they're quite good bosses.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
I enjoyed
like
the way they worked, and like,
they're very like Zelda-y, like traditional, you know, timing-based, pattern-based. The first one, I played up to the first one and a bit past that.
Mm-hmm.
So I've started to get into like the multiple orbs, but not like the first one was a very easy boss fight as well, where it was not super satisfying. But then visually, you know, it's well animated.
Yeah.
It's like you say, like tactilely, it's very fun to play. It's just, and I guess like, look, 3.5 hours, if you like puzzle games, that's probably enough for you.
Totally. Yeah. And like adventure puzzle type of thing, right? Yeah. Like, similar to a Zelda. It's like
I think it's a classic Zelda dungeon. Yeah.
It is missing a bit of the soul or whatever that pushed something like Inside over to that, like, oh, damn, that's really cool.
Yeah.
Which is a very funny thing given that it's the gameplay guy and it's something that's
I think you played Somerville, right? That had a lot more of the like the look and the vibe and the
100%.
So it is funny that these people have gone off and just ripped apart the baby.
Because you know what?
His name? The King?
Yeah.
Baby King?
The King wasn't a baby. He was like, I'll cut the baby then. Everyone's like, what a wise king.
Yeah.
Solomon. King Solomon.
They've Solomoned it.
Genuinely, the gameplay in Somerville sucked. So, or at least it lacked fluidity. It felt a little buggy. So, honestly, both of you people go back to Playdead and give us the next game.
Because this, I enjoyed this. Yeah, it was like the gameplay is satisfying.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's it. It couldn't be what it's doing. Could not be done any better.
Yeah.
You know, like it's pretty much perfect for what.
And
it's
for me, the puzzles
attempting.
Are like just enough. They're not like beating your head against a wall, but they're not like, yeah, there's been a couple where I'm like, oh, what am I, you know, walking around a bit. I think that's the best way to recommend it is like, yeah, if you like your old school Zelda dungeons, I think you'll have a good time with this, because it's just a big one of them for 3 hours. It's got all the satisfying like, oh, right, now I'm back around here and I've opened that, and oh, I see, if I leave that there and then I go through and then I activate this, I can, all that, it's hitting all those buttons really nicely.
Yeah, it's cool. It's a fun time, and the perfect Game Pass thing.
Yes.
We're like, damn, dude, what a film. What a long movie.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that.
And yeah, I would say, just to reiterate, if you have the space in your life to be able to knock it off in 1 3-hour sitting, I think it benefits from that.
I do too. It builds so well on each of its ideas.
Yeah.
That, like I didn't find that it got like exhausting or anything like that.
Yeah.
I will quickly say as well, I didn't love the visuals. I thought they were quite like, they're nice, but it's like that very like flat shaded polygonal looking thing where it, like, there's a lot of, it didn't, it wasn't like too striking to me or anything, too like original.
Yeah, I think this style-wise, I agree. But then, yeah, like I said, sort of the animation and the all of that.
It's a super nice version of that thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's worth trying. If you've got Game Pass, a no-brainer. Or I guess actually you probably have to use some of your brain.
Yeah. Downloading, it's a no-brainer. You can switch your brain off for the install process.
Yeah.
But then once it hits 100%, you got to log back on.
Sure, sure. And signing into Xbox, that takes a bit of your brain.
Speaking of logging on, signing in, jacking in.
Yeah.
Choom. I've been there. I'm still not clear what level of friendly Choom is meant to be. I think it's sort of like Buddy, where it can be either. If you're like, all right, Choom.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's like mate in Australia.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, Chooms.
Gonk is a bad thing.
If you're a gonk.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're no good. That's dumb.
You're a dumb cunt.
It's been 3 years since Cyberpunk 2077 came out.
Oh, Cyberpunk 2080.
God.
Yeah. That's what it's called. I've been playing Phantom Liberty.
Right, right.
I got the expansion, worked my way up to that point in the story.
Mm-hmm.
Hadn't played Cyberpunk since around the time it came out. Mm-hmm. Haven't tried any of the updates or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Which
I will were nowhere near as impactful as this 2.0 one.
Which also, and so that's kind of why I'm saying, like, I haven't played it for a long time, so, you know, my memory is a contributing factor to this. But I don't feel I can't immediately see the differences. That I know people have been like,
no, I agree.
It's good now. Yeah. Yeah. That's been the major headline the DLC launched alongside a big new patch.
Yeah.
And you've seen a lot of people.
Patch was free.
Yeah.
DLC was like $45.
So people have been like, never mind the DLC. The actual base game is what it should have been on day one now. That's what a lot of people have been kind of
going through the first 10 or so hours of it. That I started with a new character and went through the first like roughly 8 to 10 hours is where the DLC, you get a call to be like, hey, V, we've got some DLC for you now.
Right. Yeah.
Come over to this new part of town that I guess was always there, but I don't know.
Dr. Lloyd Christmas. Get it? DLC.
Oh, the D is a part of your... Okay.
Dr. Lloyd Christmas from Dumb and Dumb.
Yes.
But so I did all of that stuff. And so played the first, you know, few missions or however much of it.
Yep.
You have to do again.
How much is it? It's past the heist?
It's like just after you do the... Oh, wait, I guess it's at the heist. The Voodoo Boys bit.
Yeah, right.
Which, by the way, this is another big thing I've seen this week, is that you can lock yourself out of the DLC if you're starting a new game. I think.
Oh, really?
I've seen a few people say that you can accidentally do something or not do something that means that you're... Yeah, blocked from the story point of getting into the DLC.
I did it fine. And anyway, playing, I couldn't, like, there were still people T-posing out on the street. Cars were still popping up out of nowhere. Like, after a cutscene of, like, driving in a van to somewhere, we drove through a guy who was, like, sitting in the air. And all of that sort of stuff is still, it's still got all,
it's
a lot
future,
of that.
Though. That could just be an invisible self-driving car.
Maybe that's sure.
He was a hologram.
It's not bugging me that much. But right. It feels very similar to that original game. That being said, like on a frontal lobe level, I'm not necessarily able to see, and I don't remember how all of the skill tree stuff worked in the original game, to be honest. And I know they have changed that a lot. I just don't have the memory of that part of the game strongly.
It's very different.
I'm sure it is, because like, as much as I can't frontal lobe see it, I am having so much more fun playing Cyberpunk time.
Yeah.
So I have to assume that a lot of that is because there's under the hood shit that has changed.
Yeah,
I haven't gone back in yet, but I was kind of expecting, based on what people have said, same as you, Adam, like, I don't really remember enough of the specifics about it, but maybe it'll just feel different and hook me more this time around.
I'm playing it with a controller this time, and I honestly think that it feels quite nice doing that.
Okay.
Right. Are you playing it on PC?
Yeah.
With a control? Yeah, right. That's interesting. And I do think... The fewest differences will probably be the case for PC players.
Well, that's also probably true because, like, and the biggest problems with the original were on the PS4 and the Xbox One, which aren't getting this update either.
No,
so.
Yeah. No. That is funny.
Is that because it got taken off the PS store?
It went
the
back PS4 up version. At some point.
It went back up.
They just fixed it enough to be able to.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
the patch just, before this was like 1.6 or 7 right, or yeah. something. So they have done a lot of work to it prior to this patch too. And I think also this patch has introduced some new bugs. Because, like, there was one thing that happened where, like, you know, the, like, glitch effect when Johnny Silverhand's showing up just wouldn't go away.
Yeah,
and the solution
to
that, go load an old save from before that was happening.
Oh, okay.
All right, man.
Just log into your Xbox account.
Anyway, I think also part of why I've been enjoying, I'll get to the, because I've done a bunch of the DLC stuff too, but, like, the main game too, it does serve that game well to just play through the main missions one after the other.
Yeah.
Because I went off and did a lot of the side stuff originally too. Some of that's not as good.
We're in such a... I feel like this has been the case of like most major games in the last couple of years where there was this real renaissance point of like, oh yeah, all getting lost is the thing of the game and all the side stuff is so good. And then it feels like in the last like year it's been like, just knock off the main shit. Don't worry about it.
The main shit's so much
just
fun.
Do all the main stuff. Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, so I've been enjoying playing regular Cyberpunk quite a lot, like a lot more than last time. I'm just in a more of a flow with it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the DLC is really fucking fun.
Yeah.
It's so, it's a lot more of an over-the-top kind of story. Like, the president is crash-landing in Dogtown and shit like that. Like, it kicks off with, like, you know...
They smartly went, like, what if we made the film Escape from New York in a video game?
Right, it is
like, yeah, that really sick film.
Can we cast Idris Elba? Yeah.
Yeah.
Can we get him to do an American accent? Sort of.
We can ask him. Yeah. He can try.
He'll be on and off with it, but it's cool having him there. Like, I think he... as like a digital presence is more impactful for me than Keanu was in the original. Like, he's selling this interesting character well. I'm enjoying
I think he's a better actor than Keanu Reeves.
Dude, jury's out.
Okay.
That was the
it's
hard
gone
thing
to
about,
a jury.
Yeah.
There are criminal proceedings about who is the greater actor.
I liked Keanu in what I played of the first one, but it is hard to see past the thing of him as the meme at this point.
Yeah.
A little bit as like the casting of like, check it out.
And we said that at the time as well. Mm. And it's probably my least favorite thing about the game.
He's absolutely fine in it, but he's not like, and honestly, I think some people could have done that character better maybe because the character is quite different to what Keanu is able to do with the performance of it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because he's like this dickhead, dirtbag, revolutionary musician.
Yeah.
But Keanu's like, I love music.
Yeah.
And it like, it just.
And well, he does in real life.
I'm sure he does. He loves motorbikes.
He's back playing with his band, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting. I saw, who was he? He was like interviewing someone where he was like on a motorbike talking and they had earpieces. They're on separate motorbikes talking about how like, it's just so good. Oh, Norman Reedus.
I remember that interview.
Yeah, of course.
Because there's that really good quote from that interview where he says,
and that got taken out of context. The Marvel fans are up in arms over that one.
But yeah, he was always cast because he was in The Matrix, and it's like,
that's it,
you're a science fiction guy, but cast against type. And I don't think I agree with you, Knox. He does not play it well, or it could be played better.
It took me out of it so much to be like, oh, I get it. Because he's from The Matrix.
Yeah.
The other big cyberpunk thing.
Yeah.
To be fair, I think he's doing a good job in this DLC. Like, he's back in it as well.
Right.
We're talking to Johnny.
Yeah, because it's before.
It happens during the game.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's about a third of the way through that Voodoo Boys stuff is.
Yeah.
And that's when you can go do it.
Yeah. I'm almost up to it as well. I started playing it again to get to see what was different. Mm. And having had a good experience playing it on a PC at launch, I genuinely couldn't tell you what's changed.
I do think a lot of just it's been long enough that the initial backlash has worn off as well. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I do think part of the enjoyment could be people going back to it with a more neutral set of eyes.
Expectation, like, oh, I bought it. I mean, that'd be my experience. Like, it's just been sitting there. I played a couple of hours of it for this, bounced off it, but... Oh, yeah, well, it's there and it's all completely changed now. I just basically have it for free at this point.
Sure.
Knowing, spending the money.
Knowing what it is now,
right.
As compared to sort of, I think the difference in how they described it to what it was as well. Right. Like, that was there at the time. But
and
anyway.
Then psychologically, like if you play it now, you've seen a bunch of headlines being like, it's good now. That's going to have some kind of subconscious effect
on
you.
My dream is that our old friend Jason Schreck is working on his third book, which is just all about the development and the launch of that game. Because I would love to read a full oral history and breakdown of all the steps of it from conception to showing it off to that crazy launch. Yeah. Like there's just so much. And to now have this chapter of it where, it's
people
it's,
like
it's getting,
it.
Yeah, it's getting talked. The base game is getting talked about as if it's a new release, and not just the DLC.
It's certainly improved. It's not as drastic of a refresh, I don't think, as maybe I was expecting. I don't know what I was expecting, but like it still does have a lot of the similar things to what made Cyberpunk have this reputation of like, wow, it's a mess, it's buggy. Like a lot of that stuff's still fucking happening.
Sure.
But it isn't anyway. I'm really enjoying playing it, and the DLC stuff is it's an interesting area. There's the mainline story stuff is just like really well paced and silly in a fun way. Mm-hmm. Where like that the main Cyberpunk 2077 story is a little downbeat.
Yeah,
is a little dry in some ways because it's a lot of like gritty gangs da da da. So it has to be that, but it's also a lot of sort of like that kind of dry political type of.
Mm-hmm. It's mainly corporate espionage.
Yeah,
which is not. You wouldn't have thought the number one story trope that you'd do for a game where you can like modify your body and have guns that shoot around corners.
Yeah. And you're meeting a lot of those people for the first time as well in that story. Whereas in this, you're coming into a thing where all of these characters have history with one another.
Right, right.
Which is fun. Like meeting someone new and they're like, this motherfucker betrayed me years ago, back in 2050, and I hate and all of that sort of stuff is cool.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this, Adam. This is a headline that I read that seemed to be just pure, not quite in the realm of clickbait, but just a real like galaxy brain headline about the DLC.
Okay.
That was basically saying, in order to really get what's going on in Phantom Liberty, you need to have played the Cyberpunk tabletop game. I just was like, there's no way that can be true.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, look, maybe it's referencing it in a way that like anything you get more from it. There's no way they're developing this being like, this one's only going to register to people who've played the board game.
Yeah.
Definitely, Cyberpunk, more than a lot of games as well, doesn't bother giving you much context for heaps of its lore stuff.
Yeah. Yep. Hey, I'm developing an adaptation of this book into a film.
Okay.
And what I'm going to do is I'm just going to leave out three chapters so that the film does not make sense and that you have to have read the book in order to understand what's going on in the film.
That sounds like a stupid fucking idea.
Thank you.
Put Tom Bombadil back in. He's the heart and soul of the Fellowship.
That's why I've called myself Stupid Fucking Idea Studios.
It's just, I know the Cyberpunk stuff more though because of like having played the original and watched Edge Runners and shit. So
yeah,
when they're saying Chum, I'm no longer like, what did you mispronounce?
I still am annoyed by that. I think it's over. Most of the dialogue is overwritten, not in just a like a Clockwork Orange, like what are you fucking saying way, but like a, this is kind of lame.
I did make note of in this one that I don't remember in the original or as part of the Cyberpunk world that like words like amazeballs were.
No,
they're not, right? Because there is some of that in this
one. Oh, is there really?
Which is
interesting. So it comes back around.
It's kind of
like
50
years we get back into it.
Yeah, that's like me saying like, oh, wow, you're on the trolley, aren't you? Like,
But you do say that.
Yeah, I'd love it. 23 Skidoo, baby. But
no, Adam, you're such a ragtime gal.
Thank you.
I think it was written to have its own slang.
Yeah.
Purposefully, not any, apart from like, fucking and sucking and shit.
No, it totally is. It's like how in Beast Wars they said slag.
Yeah, exactly.
Which in England, still a bad word.
Yeah, true.
So anyway, I'm really enjoying myself. I think it's worth a revisit if, the thing of just doing the main story a lot more quickly than I was, I think is a big part of why I'm enjoying that part of the main game
more.
And the Phantom Liberty stuff seems like a good addition to the game. I'm like having a, I haven't finished it yet, but I'm having a good time going through it. Like in Dogtown looks nice as well.
Right.
It's like a lot more fucked and there's no, none of the NCPD or anything there. So you're, it's like martial law separate part of the city.
Ooh, okay. You can have as many body pillows as you want.
Dude, they've all got two QR codes.
Yes.
One for the, there's like these drops of like cargo, almost like PUBG or something.
Oh, yeah.
That will happen around the city that you can go and get like good guns from. But there might be some people there. It might be hard to climb up to or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
Visually, it looks great. It's a good game. I'm having a fun time playing a good game.
Yeah, I've been looking forward to going back to this, but unfortunately, I probably never will because there's too much fucking shit coming.
I know.
Yeah,
but it is worth it if it's if it's something that ever was off your radar as well because you were put off by the reception at the time too. I do think that some of that stuff was slightly more barbed than it might have been warranted to be back at the time, other than for the like literally broken versions, which is like, yeah, you can't do that.
Yeah, and I probably still wouldn't recommend playing it on PS4 or Xbox.
No. Oh, no, well, yeah.
Like, it's not a game for those platforms.
So we did have a different experience not playing those last gen versions, and I guess you forget that like the PS5 and that had just come out.
Yeah, I mean that was my experience with getting it on the PS5 when it came out. Was like I wasn't having those technical issues. I just wasn't super hooked in on all the other stuff that was going on.
Neither was I. That's the thing. And this time, for whatever reason, I think because I was powering through that main story to get to the point where the DLC starts.
Yes.
Right.
It's actually better to play it that way. So, and I assume that might have been more of the way you played it at the time. And you were the most positive on it out of the three of us.
For sure. I really did just play through the main story. And then after I finished it, I went and started ticking things off and was like, oh, I've played like 90 hours of this. I think I'm done.
Right.
You guys, fucking Cocoon's too linear for you. There's not enough other writing. Then you get all the writing you could possibly want in Cyberpunk. Yeah. You're powering through it.
Yeah.
My mind is a multitude, bitch. it's a
fun. What are orbs in there?
I will say too, I don't have a good enough PC to be fucking with a lot of the new tech stuff they've put in there.
Yeah.
But fuck, it looks good if you've got something that can handle it, all the path trace lighting and all of that stuff.
Yes.
A lot of red. But it looks great on my computer too. I it's all right.
Yeah, I think I'm playing on, I mean, I've only got like a 1440 monitor.
Yeah.
But I think I'm playing it on like high settings and it's like running smooth and looks better than it did before. Maybe they've done something with sort of the adaptive resolution and, you know, all of that shit.
They definitely have, like, been working on it this whole time. I think just, like, the vibe of, like, it's a completely different game now is, like, exaggerating.
Yeah, right. I've generally, like, listened to, like, other podcasts and read some reviews that are, like, it's a whole new game. It is a transformative experience. And I'm just, like, you're lying.
Yeah.
Or you've just forgotten. Like, you've genuinely forgotten that it was, like, really similar to this when it came out.
Yeah. Some stuff has improved for sure.
Absolutely.
I'm not acting like it hasn't been, but, like I am still seeing bugs and shit. They're not, not bothering me that much.
Well, and being like, it's more, it's kind of more fulfilling the promise of, like, what it should have been 3 years ago. A big part of that, too, is, like, you know, it's been three more years that the PS5s have been out and more people have upgraded. So someone that's just playing on a PS4 just isn't in the conversation as much anymore.
Yes.
You know, there's less. Like,
I think
people
that's
are
a
like
huge,
moving,
yeah.
You know, when it was like, oh, well, this new console's only been out for like a month. So it is still technically a last-gen game that should be able to run well on that hardware. You're just hearing less and less of that kind of stuff.
Three years of it existing as a known quantity is a long time to readjust your expectations to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
yep.
By the way, speaking of Christmas of image and monitor sizes.
I thought you said Christmas.
Christmas of image.
Yeah.
I plugged the Steam Deck into my TV and it for some reason defaulted to one of the lowest resolution settings, and I was playing it for a moment being like, I got to get another new prescription put in these glasses before I like went into the settings and went, why has it defaulted to being like a third, like two thirds of the way down the like the list, and then bumped it up and felt like I was seeing through time.
It's
I was
very
like, oh,
funny.
Hell
your,
yeah!
Your first reaction is like, oh, my eyes are in 240p.
Always,
now.
I'm the problem. First default thought about anything is I'm the problem. What have I done now? How have I fucked it? I'm
so
the issue.
On the TV. At proper resolution, looked like really nice.
Looks good, yeah. Hell like you can, I don't have a dock for it, but because it's just got a USB-C port,
right?
So I just used the little dongle thing from my MacBook, put that in.
Yep.
Put the HDMI straight in. Obviously, better to have a dock because you can charge, and I probably will get one of them eventually.
Right.
But you just out of the box, you just can easily.
Yes.
Just plug it in with probably one of the built. Like my friend was complaining about buying a new iPhone the other day and being like. Ah, the guy told me it was going to have the right cable in it and it doesn't. I got to go get a fucking USB-C cable. I was like, I have got so many USB-C. I don't know how you can. I was like, this is like a, this just shows how too tapped in we are. Like to not be drowning in USB-C cables at this point is bizarre to me.
Dude, I you know that thing of like if you extended all your nervous system as long as it could go, you could get to the moon and back?
Yeah.
I could do that with USB-C cables today.
Yeah. Half of them don't work anymore in spite of the fact that I've never plugged them in.
Well, a lot of them are the wrong data speed. I fucking don't want to get into
honestly,
it.
Honestly, I could get about half of the way with USB-C and then half of the way with lightning, but not really because none of them connect into each other.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, my God.
Really quickly as well, I've forgotten to talk about this the last couple of weeks. I've been every now and again plucking around with Monster Hunter now.
Oh, yeah.
As well. Yeah.
That's a new Niantic one. It's Pokemon Go, but Monster Hunter. It's actually pretty cool.
Yeah.
You're actually fighting the monsters. You tap to slash.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And you can dodge as well. I played just like a couple hours of it.
Yeah.
You can love that this is just these guys' business model. We just take shit and then we make you go for a little walk.
Yeah. And it's making me do it. And like, I'm having an okay time. It is not. One of the you're not going to be doing it all the time every day, but every now and again, I get annoyed with how much public transport I get. That if I'm moving too fast, it's like you're definitely the driver of a car.
Oh,
you're not allowed.
Oh,
that's so dumb.
Right,
but you've got to cause like a disruption at every station. So it's like
we haven't said this on the pod yet, but you did move to Osaka, so you're getting the Shinkansen every week to record.
You do get like some little palico pellets or something. I forget what they're called. But you'll have a palico who can mark monsters as you're walking around so you can come back to them and fight them later.
Do you want to hear something really embarrassing?
I'd love to.
It's so dumb.
Unless it's about me.
No, it's about me.
Okay, great. I'm in.
Adam has a tiny penis.
Now say the embarrassing thing.
The embarrassing thing about me is that I had to see Adam's tiny penis.
I only just realized... when I started playing this game, that Palico is a calico who's
but he's
a
pal. Yeah.
So dumb.
Uh-huh.
I was like, what a stupid name they've made up for these little friends.
I think I can beat that.
When did you find out?
Guess when I found that out.
How many years old were you?
Oh, good shit, hey?
It's a it's a nice little pun, but also it does just sound like a word. So
I
totally get that.
Because they chuck a few other nonsensical words at you at the start.
Dude, fucking Baroth doesn't mean anything.
Exactly.
Rathalos doesn't mean anything.
Yeah. What does Monster Hunter mean?
That is the mad thing that I love about that franchise. That they, anytime there's something that has managed to get so big, in spite of not having to sit and think of like a funky character name or a cool name for the series, someone just in that boardroom going like, you know what, guys, we're overthinking it.
Yeah.
It works smarter, not harder. You're fighting monsters.
What do you do in the game?
Call it Monster Hunter.
Yeah.
What do you do in the game? Write that on the box.
Yep.
And that's it.
Yeah.
Okay. Controller hold.
Oh,
that's what you do for most of the game. You hold the controller.
Yeah,
I'm having a good time. It's
me too. I like it. I liked Pokemon Go, and I think as many games do, it just came and went for me. Mm. You know, and I enjoyed it as I was playing it. But
that was the whole point. You were meant to come and go.
Pokemon come and go.
Yeah,
if I do
the character, the interfaces, the sort of the Monster Hunter like coat of paint. I enjoy
this mini monster fight that you're doing. You've got a very limited time, and you can dodge around them. They'll try and attack you. They'll flash red. Different weapons work differently.
Yes.
All the upgrading stuff is
Satisfying
in the way it is in Monster Hunter. You're gathering elements and whatever mm-hmm.
To make
ingredients
your,
to build and upgrade your weapons. It's all there.
I'm sure you can pay $40 to get some special upgrade.
Yeah,
points.
I think it's like your health potions. I haven't spent any money on it and stuff like that. But you definitely it has a way of giving them
turn
money.
Turn your palico into a fucking angry bird.
Yeah.
Oh.
Maybe one day.
Yuck.
But yeah, it's a bit of fun,
mm.
and it's you know free to start. So have a go if you've got a phone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's going to do us for this week. Thanks everyone for listening. Come see us this Saturday night if you're at PAX 9 p.m. at the La Theatre. And yeah, we'll be lurking around. We'll be loitering around the convention floor. So so let us know. Let us know if you're around.
Yes.
Looking forward to it.
Please do. It'll be fun. Saturday night, 9 p.m.
Yep. Yeah, it's all right for fighting.
Fill it up. No, it's not okay. Don't fight.
Get on the YouTube channel. Check out our hands-on impression videos of WarioWare Move It and Super Mario Brothers Wonder that have both gone up in the last week. Heaps of videos and stuff on there. We've also got the Patreon. You get a bonus show every week where we talk about movies and TV shows and all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
So if you if you want to support the show, keep the lights on in here.
That's and the way to do
keep
it.
Keep us gainfully employed.
Yeah, if you want to hear if the movie The Creator is any good, you can sign up now and that episode will be there right for you at the top of the feed.
And a brand new one tomorrow for you if you're listening on the Thursday that this is released. If you're not, it'll keep going anyway. There'll be new ones every day.
It might have gone up today or yesterday.
I don't know. Could have been months ago.
Yeah. Oh, God. That's
maybe
weird.
We deleted it.
Oh, also. No. Sorry, I'll save that for the Patreon episode.
Great.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks for listening, guys. And good time to recommend the show to people because there's a big month of stuff coming out. We're going to be talking about all of it.
That's true.
Excited for a big October.
Get people on board and build up to Game of the Year at the end of the year, which is always big fun.
It's going to be a fucking good one this year.
It's going to be a honker of probably a couple
big
episodes.
Ass year.
Can I tell you? I wrote down a
provisional list.
I've honestly. This year has been so stacked that I reckon I started thinking about this in like February.
It's pretty crazy. I'm going to play Alan Wake soon so I can play Alan Wake 2. Shit like that.
Oh, right.
There's a couple I got to finish off. Yeah.
Well, thanks very much for listening, guys. We'll see you next time. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals,
Cyberpunk 2077's big 2.0 patch changes the game from a gonk to a choom. That's my headline pitch. What do you reckon?
Great. I love it.
Am I hired?
Tick.
I love it.
That is pretty cool, right? And I said it with their attitude.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.